You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet, and story is everything. We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell, and you've just been listening to Hot Texas Swing Band by our friend Alex Dormont.
Hot Texas Swing Band out of Dripping Springs, Texas.
Dripping Springs?
Dripping Springs, yeah.
How big a town is that, by the way?
I don't. I'll have to look that up and get back to you. But it's famous for swing. We're delighted to have you with us tonight, aren't we?
Who are we talking to? Who's our guest?
Hold on just a second. Our guest, here she is. Hello. Hi. Hey, she's just joined us. Our guest is R.G. Stanford, but she goes by Robbie to her friends, right?
That's right, Robbie.
Well, welcome, Robbie. Welcome to episode number 148, the beginning of our fourth year. We're so delighted you're with us tonight. Where are you joining us from?
Near Orlando, Florida. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, glad to have you here.
Robbie has been following Rendezvous with a Writer for a while, and we just love that. Any of you that are joining us tonight, whether it's live tonight, whether you're finding us on the archive, whether you're on LA Talk Radio, you're on Facebook's Rendezvous page, thank you so much for being with us, right?
Right.
And you know, Robbie, I hope that you've had a chance to go. We launched just last week a brand new landing page for Rendezvous with the Writer.
I went there and I saw that very nice landing page.
Thank you to Janelle Madison of Clicks by Madison, who did a great job, and it's really fun. I still like going there and clicking around, and there's even a spot that you can contact us. Uh-huh. So if you'd like to join us in 2026, that's the perfect place to shoot us an email and introduce yourself. So we're so happy to have Robbie on.
We are.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about her book, The Brothers Brown. Historical fiction. A lot of characters.
But based on, right, Robbie, a true family.
Based on the true story of my great-grandfather's life. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it is, when we say story is everything, this is exactly that. And there are lots of stories. There are complexity of stories. And it's just the beginning of a series, right?
That's right. I will be releasing part two by November.
Wow. So you have to get it now and get part one so you're ready for part two. Jim, do you have a bio?
We have a bio.
Just go ahead and get started.
We have a short bio. Robbie, raised on the beaches of South Texas, R.G. Stanford has always been drawn to stories that transcend time. Though historical fiction wasn't an immediate calling, a personal journey into genealogy changed everything. With no close relatives nearby, R.G. Stanford, Robbie to her friends, turned to online resources in search of extended family. That search became a 20-year journey through genealogy websites, federal census records, the National Archives, and old newspapers. Along the way, Robbie uncovered incredible stories about her family and the people who once lived in the Choctaw Nation Indian Territory. She is a mother, a grandmother, a teller of stories, now living near Orlando. All right.
Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? I never heard it read to me.
Makes you want to just dig in this book and get reading.
Now, we were going to ask a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Give us a little secret or a little story or something about you that's not in the bio.
Well, my dream is to tour the castles of Europe. Wow. I want to tour the castles of Europe. As a matter of fact, I plan trips that I know I'll probably never be able to take, but I want to travel the castles of Europe.
Where would you go first?
I think first I would go to Ireland and start there and just spread out from there.
Wow. Yeah, you have a dream about going to Europe.
Well, we have, you know, the family tree, you know, it kind of winds back and forth between France and Ireland.
Right.
Isles, and
you got some Scottish in your
and Scotland too.
Right. And I would love to go to Scotland just to visit Scotland, you know.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Let's book it. Robbie, let's get it on our calendars and figure out how to get it
done. I think we should pick up and go.
That would be fun. Well, let's see. What prompted you to begin researching your family's history?
Well, I didn't grow up with aunts and uncles and cousins. It was during the time that researching your genealogy was very popular. And I went searching for my extended family and found my grandmother's birth certificate. I didn't know my grandparents really. I only remember meeting them a few times. I found her birth certificate that said, born in 1894, Choctaw Nation, Indian Territory. And I just went, what? What is this? You know, that's Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Started digging from there and trying to prove out all of the stories that I heard about my family.
Wow. It kind of makes you, you know, I think one thing you're sharing, and then as we read the book, it probably makes most readers, if we haven't delved into our own families, it really may prompt us to wonder more about, you know, we may know the names, like they say, you know, on a headstone, and then there's that dash, and we know from here to here, the dash, or the, you know, we may know the bones, but we don't know the actual, you know, what happened. And so I think what doing all that kind of, I know you have a question.
Well, when did you get started? How did you get started on this 20-year journey?
Just
odyssey of looking for the past.
Just digging through, learning how to dig through records. And the more I found, the more it intrigued me. And then I had to find the other piece of the puzzle and the other piece of the puzzle. And the more I dug, the more amazing stories I uncovered. And so I had to put it together and just, I had to write this book because what an amazing tortured life these people lived.
You used a lot of different reference points, you know. We mentioned a couple in the bio, but you went a lot of different places and talked to a lot of different people, right?
Mm-hmm, I certainly did. I ended up meeting a lot of my extended family that way. I now am in contact with three cousins that two of them I didn't know I had. One of them I never thought I would ever see. And she became one of my editors. So, you know,
fun.
I went digging through courthouses and libraries and, you know, a lot of stuff online, but did a lot of traveling to uncover this information also.
You know, I was thinking earlier today and yesterday about your travels, you know, and research, and I kind of envision in some cases you may be going the little towns with rundown courthouses. I can see you walking down the steps into the musty basement, cobwebs all over. You got a flashlight in your hand. You pull all file doors open.
Taking pictures of everything, right?
Yes, I took a lot of pictures of documents. Absolutely.
You mentioned the National Archive. For those of us that maybe are beginning to think, hey, that would be fun to do a little research. How easy or not easy
Oh, it
was the
is so
National
difficult.
Archive?
It is
Was
so
it?
difficult to navigate. To find what I was looking for, I first had to call the National Archives in Dallas, because that's where the majority of the records for the Choctaw Nation are held. Not all of them, but the majority of them. So, thank goodness the man that I talked to was just so kind and so willing to help me. And he just over the phone guided me through how to search for records. And he said, if there's something you can't find, call me and we'll see, we'll see what else we can do. And I learned so much, but you have to save what you find because you may never ever find it again.
I did again.
Yeah.
There's a scene. It's not really a spoiler alert, but we're in Judge Isaac Parker's courtroom, and it's we won't talk anymore about it or when it happens or whatever. But you give a really good detailed description of that courtroom. Had you been able to go there? Had you been there?
I have not been there, but I've seen videos, and I had a friend go through there and take videos. And as I was writing the scene, I called the, it's of course it's a museum now, and I called and talked with someone who gave tours of Judge Parker's chamber and the jail and the courtrooms and the hallway that I talk about, and ask him to critique it for me. And he said it was spot on. So,
Wow. Wow.
yeah, I'm
Yeah.
very proud of myself in that.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot. You give us really wonderful detail throughout the book. I know you have a question.
I do.
I know you do.
Research is hard work sometimes, and we know it takes a lot of time. And I know some places you try to go to, and they're not open, and they call back tomorrow, and they're not available. Did you ever run into anybody that really didn't want to help you at all?
So many times, so many
So
times.
many times.
At courthouses, when you call and when you go there, you'll find people who, and a lot of times reluctantly, will help you with modern day records. But to have to go back and dig and dig and dig, they're, yeah. But thank goodness people would let me back there. And let me into the locked room or let me into the archive room. And so you just dig.
What did you, or I should ask it this way maybe, was there anything that you uncovered that just made you gasp or just amazed you?
Real
Did you feel
surprise.
like you have to read it again and again to be sure you read it right? Anything you could share on that?
So many things just threw me for a loop. So many things, and I won't say what it is because I don't want to do spoiler alerts, but I certainly write about it. There are things that just, even in today's world, would blow somebody's mind.
What just runs along with this kind of parallel is, we all have family oral stories, Sometimes we can remember them, sometimes we can't, but I've assumed that maybe you had a few or a couple anyway that when, once you did the research, you said, oh my golly, this wasn't true at all.
Or was.
Well,
Oh
it's,
my
it loses a lot through the generations. And back then, and even my mother's generation, if it's something that is not a good subject, they don't talk about it. So a lot of it was cleaned up as it was passed down through generation. And I dug up the dirt. And even the parts that I was shocked by and that I didn't like that offended me, I still wrote about because it's the truth.
It's the truth.
The truth, yeah. You had you visited a number of grave sites, didn't you, in your
Several,
research
yes.
process? Sometimes those grave sites don't exactly, they're not easy to work with. I know,
Sometimes
particularly in
they're not
this book,
accurate.
you had one one spot between two markers, we're not sure whether anybody was buried there or not.
Right.
And sometimes what is written on a headstone doesn't really make any sense to you.
I discovered that. Yes.
It's kind of
dates and stories that go with that death date, I found out was basically right, but not right. And I would really like to go back and change that and place another grave marker there with the correct date.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you found a grave marker that also the name wasn't quite spelled what you, there was a slight sort of typo. It needed one more letter. Before we go to our first break, let's just talk a bit about the prologue, because there's no spoiler alert. You open the book and right away,
right,
there's a prologue. And we have two women in that prologue. Who are they?
It is Melissa, who is my niece, and Aunt Sue, who is actually me. It was me and my niece going through this journey. And what I wrote about in that actually happened. That's exactly how it happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are talking with our featured guest tonight, Robbie Stanford, and the book is The Brothers Brown, A Family Saga, Part 1. And we're going to step away, Robbie, for just a moment, but don't go anywhere.
Okay.
We want to just call out someone that you and we have very much in common, and that is our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison.
Yes.
You are a writer like Robbie is, and you'd like to increase your social media presence, refresh your website, or like we just did, launch a landing page or a website. Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you. Here's exciting news about a new feature offered to writers, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Special guest, R.G. Stanford, Robbie.
Huh?
We're talking about our book, The Brothers Brown. And we got a quote from that book. Before we get into it again, it's about one of the characters, one of the main characters. His name is Robert. And he's going to give some advice to his brothers. Robert's the oldest. Robert would give his brothers one last lesson about life. Yes, one more lesson about life. Real life. Not the lessons Ma and Pa would teach them on the farm. He would show them how to be men. How to get what you wanted from the ladies. How to win in a fight. How to win at cards, even if he had to cheat. Most importantly, he would show them how to dream and dream big. Man couldn't learn that on a farm. They would need their big brother.
Robert was the caretaker of all of the brothers.
We love Robert. Yeah. We really like all the brothers. Even, you know, they're human. They're, you know,
yeah,
you write, they're very human. But what's really not like, I mean, mostly what's not like to about Robert?
Mm-hmm.
What's what?
What's really not what to like about Rob?
Yeah, he was a charmer and, you know, and a very dramatic person.
Yes, we'll talk about probably we can't talk about this book and not talk about Robert. But in this little segment, Robbie, we're going to kind of now take for our first sort of in-depth look at the book itself. And I'll just start it by, when did you start writing it? You did research for 20 some years, but when did you start?
I did research for 20 something years, and I started writing 3 years ago. It took me 3 years to write this book.
Okay.
But I wrote the whole book and then broke it into parts because there's so much to tell. And
yes.
You know, nobody wants to pick up a 10,000 page book. So I'm breaking it into parts, you know.
Into parts.
Yeah.
When does the story start? Why don't you give a little bit about the storyline itself?
Right. So the story begins with the brothers in their youth. Matt Brown is the protagonist, and he's 8 years old when the story begins. And we see the dynamic between the three oldest brothers, which is Robert, Albert, and Matt, and their relationship and how they love Robert. And Matt just idolizes Robert.
Yeah, he really does. The characters really move through. It's a very character-driven story, but of course, there's all kinds of actions and consequences to decisions, and there's all kinds of activity, and they live a variety of places, and they move about.
Right.
You move them through this Western landscape. What are a couple of places that they kind of land and make home?
Right, so they leave Tennessee as a young man. Robert leaves Tennessee and goes to work on the railroad, and he ends up in St. Louis. And then he goes into the Indian Territory working on the railroad. Matt ends up in St. Louis. And then the whole family, a little bit before that, the whole family moves to Texas. And they buy a farm and move to Texas.
Mm-hmm. The family, to me, it's a tight-knit family. And they operate really well. I mean, the boy, they do their chores. And they do the, you know, Matt hates picking cotton. But, you know, he'll pick the, he'd rather not. But,
yeah.
You know, they have really strong family dynamic. And Morris and Jane, the mom and dad, have a very loving, wonderful relationship. They also seem to be very entrepreneurial and business-minded.
Yes, they
right?
are.
Yes, they are.
And Robert is also, and he'll write letters back home to Dad and say, you know, I'm here, yada, yada, and you know, come and look at this. So I thought that was very interesting. You able to discover a lot of those things through your research? You have to kind of fill in blanks that they were here and then they were there and how they get there.
I filled in a lot of blanks, but I followed, you know, anywhere I could find a newspaper that mentioned their name or mentioned anybody in their family. That's, you know, that's the setting that I used to write. And of course, I had to make a lot of it up, you know, deciding how and why and what happened when they moved. But I found their paper trail as to where they moved to, also using the U.S. Census.
We have some other, some subject matter, different subjects here in the book. One's about the Civil War. That we kind of crossed through that. Robert's father, you know, Morris, I guess.
Yeah.
That was a real traumatic thing for him.
Yes,
it was. He was a young man when he fought in the Civil War. He was 18. And the things that he experienced stayed with him for the rest of his life and affected the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, for our listeners and readers out there, you know, this is really a nice moving story about events that have happened with these folks, but there is some really serious stuff in here. So it's you know, it's kind of not for the namby-pamby. This is a serious book. And you will enjoy it. So I thought I'd just throw that in.
You've written the characters to be so engaging. And I'm assuming you didn't really have letters, journals a lot. Well, there is a section of letters back and forth, but how did you find their voices?
I just made up their voices. just by how I saw them in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, in what little I was able to learn about their personalities, I was able to close my eyes and put it together and you know, I just came up with their personalities in what I hope and think that they will be like.
You know, we get connections to the Choctaw tribe. Did it take a while to ferret that out, or was that an easy find?
That was a pretty easy find. It's the first thing that I found when I went searching through my family archives. You know, and that's what really caught me is, oh, yeah, I remember when I was a child, my grandmother talking about her Choctaw heritage. Yeah. And seeing that made me dig further because I really wanted to find out. She wouldn't talk about it too much. You know, back then they just didn't, they didn't want to admit that they were Native American. It was taboo. So she didn't talk about it a lot, but I was completely intrigued. And then through that, I met my great grandmother just through digging and her husband, who was Matt Brown, who actually Robert and Matt both married into the Choctaw tribe.
That's so interesting. There's before we take our next break, we just have to call this out. So poker. Poker plays a kind of a poker and whiskey kind of play an important role in this book. And it's kind of hard to see, but Jim, I do want to, because you're wearing this gorgeous shirt.
So cool.
Playing cards.
You want to talk about dealing some cards here?
Dealing is so great. Does he have a good hand on there?
So can you want to just take a quick moment to just sort of, you know, what is it about? And do you play poker? You write a lot of poker scenes. Kind of how did you go about that?
I do not play poker. Honestly, I know nothing about poker. But my son-in-law, he loves to play poker, and he likes to play these tournaments. So And I even forced my family to sit down and act out the scene and make sure it was right with him there.
Everything
was right, the draws, the hands, the what would happen next. So thank goodness I had him, or I wouldn't have been able to write those pokers.
Yeah. Is the specific scene you're talking about the one with Duncan, or is it, because we have a few poker, but the
I had my kids sit around the table with me, and everybody had their character, and we acted it out.
That's a good, we don't play, I wouldn't know, except, you know, when you watch TV and you see, you know, you kind of see how it goes, so I could sort of get it. But boy, you give us
play cards very often.
No,
we should play. Bring your money.
I play solitaire. That's what I play.
It's about all I do. We are going to take another quick break, Robbie, and we would just step away to tell you, our listeners and watchers, about places that you can order the books of many of our author guests. And a few of you have been ordering books, and we really thank you. You can find their books on our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we're going to meet more of the characters from The Brothers Brown. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Money Moon the Writer. Our special guest, Robbie Stanford. We're talking about a book, The Brothers Brown.
Part one, family saga, part one.
You know, these characters, you know, obviously some of them, most of them are probably real. Maybe you're throwing in a couple you made up, but did they ever surprise you? I suppose you found a lot of surprises, actually.
They all surprised me. They all surprised me. And yeah, each and every one of them surprised me. some of them so much so that they were really hard to write.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Did any of them say to you as you were writing them, Robbie, I wouldn't say that, or
yes.
can you make me look a little better? Can you give me, you know, can you not give me that bow tie? Can you, you know, did they?
Yes, yes, they like did. That? Yes, huh? We did. They certainly did. They became real in my head, and they kind of took over, and more characters than not told me what to do and how they would have said something or what they would have worn.
Yeah, you give us some wonderful descriptions, which helps also set the period a bit, you know, what we could expect. There's a scene, and the characters are Morris and Jane. And there is a scene, and it is raining heavily. And they own a hotel. And just very brief, because we really get their hearts. In this scene, we really learn more about mom and dad and the kind of compassionate heart they have. You just very quickly, what do they do in that rainstorm?
In that scene, in that chapter, Morris and Jane find a colored family who are camping out on the other side of the tracks. And of course they're being washed away because it's just a bad rainstorm. And they gather them up and offer them the barn to sleep in. They would have given them a hotel room if they had one, but they offer them the barn to sleep in. And that just says a lot about their character. And that stems from Morris's experience in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really, and it's just a gorgeously written scene, the whole, all from the beginning of it to we learn that they're going to have a new family member sort of from it, and how they embrace that young boy. Do you want to call out a name? We're going to call out some names, Robbie, so get ready. Okay, you want to call out a name?
Robert.
Okay, tell us more about Robert. Little heartthrob here, Robert.
Yeah, charmer, very intelligent, very creative, swindler.
But as a young man, when we first meet him, he's 15. And I think this is happening too when we first meet him. He would go into town to the store
and read the newspaper to people.
What would he do? Yeah.
Yeah, he would read, and he was he did it as though he were a stage actor. And that's why people liked him so much, because he really just put heart into the story. So people flocked in to listen to him read the newspaper. You know, back then, not everybody read. So people who didn't read, they'd all go see Robert after church on Sundays when the newspapers come in. And he enjoyed, and they tipped him well.
Yeah, that was so interesting to me, because I don't
think it reminds a little bit of that movie, the News of the World, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. That came out after I wrote it.
Yeah. There we go. And I also, you know, he wants to be an outlaw. You know, we meet him at 15.
He's a child. Right.
Yeah. And he dreams of being an outlaw. And why do you think that is?
Because, you know, back then, that's what was played up. Dime novels and the newspapers, that's what you hear about are the outlaws. And he really gets fixated on Jesse James. And he's convinced that Jesse James is actually like a modern day Robin Hood, who steals from the rich and gives to the poor. And he doesn't just want to be an outlaw. He wants a gang of his brothers, like Jesse had.
Did he do?
He figures out each one based on kind of their strengths at this time in their young life. You know, you'll do this and you'll do that. It's very interesting.
Right. He had it all planned out. He knew exactly what.
He had it all planned out.
Yeah.
Okay, who do you want to ask about?
You know, I was going to ask about Matt, but let's talk about Jane a little bit. That's some enterprising lady, you know.
Is the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jane.
Very enterprising. Yeah.
Right. Jane is the salt of the earth, a caretaker. She takes people in And I read this in letters from my family, you know, back and forth, that she ended up raising 9 children that were not her own. On top of her own family, she took people in and she raised other people's children, and she took dogs and cats in, and she was just the caretaker of everybody. Mm-hmm. I really admire her.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not a person. I'm going to call out Lookout Rock.
Lookout Rock. That is the secret place that boys go to dream. That was their secret hideout.
Yeah. And they had a little ritual, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah. They had to sort of set the meeting tone when they were there.
Almost like a secret lodge.
Yeah, like a secret lodge. Yeah. All right. We talked about Robert a moment. Let's talk about his wife, Lizzie. Tell us a little about Lizzie.
Lizzie Folsom. She was very young when they married. She had 2 brothers who instantly did not like Robert because he was a lot older, one. And come to find out there's a rivalry between them that you find out later in the book what the true rivalry is. But Lizzie was just a happy-go-lucky, very intelligent Choctaw girl who endured a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a really interesting gal. Yeah. Okay, you call out somebody, honey. I already called out a few.
Well, we need to go back to Matt. You know, Matt, you know, he was... I guess he's the third oldest, because Albert's the second oldest, right?
Right. There's Robert, yeah. Albert, and Matt.
Yeah. What's Matt like?
What's Matt like?
Yeah. What's Matt like? What is Matt like?
Matt was really, really good at reading people.
But he
had a very big heart too. Right. He was really good at reading people. That's one of his God-given skills. And he really had a heart. He developed, you know, his brother wanted to be an outlaw, and he decided, no, he didn't want to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. And he also although
he followed in the footsteps. Yeah.
But he also was quite a horse handler, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a horseman. He was. Yeah. He never saw that in himself, but he was quite the horseman. And what you would call today as a horse whisperer, mm-hmm. that was him. And the relationship that he built with horses that he was training and his own horses, one horse in particular, who that's a true horse that stayed with him throughout the whole book.
Girl.
Until she was very, very old, yes.
Yeah, Girl. It's very touching scenes with Girl.
That's the name of the horse,
that's
right?
The name Girl? Of
Girl? Yes.
What?
A horse named Girl, yes.
A horse named Girl. Hey, that could be a good title of a book.
I know. That's
a story. I think it could be a song. We know a lot of songwriters.
Yeah.
Throw that idea out there. A horse named Girl.
A horse named Girl.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Jim, call out another name.
The Folsom brothers.
Oh, okay.
These guys are kind of a dark.
They are characters.
Yeah. We don't really like them all.
They were driven by hatred of Robert. That's what drove them, both of them. And in the end, it ended up being the demise of a lot of people.
Yeah. You take us into Judge Isaac Parker's court. We don't need to go, why were we there? But you really give a wonderful description of him. And you know, we know him from movie, you know, it's sort of like, judge, you know, the hanging judge.
Right.
But I really relish the way that you wrote about him. Where did you from?
I read everything I could find about him. Okay. And I looked at every picture I could find about him. And I just figured just by looking at him and what I read about him, he would have that kind of demeanor.
Oh, there's one more. We need to ask about Mila.
Oh, Mila.
Who?
Mila. Matt's
Mila,
wife.
Yes.
Mila.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very strong Choctaw traditional family. But she was the modern woman, but stuck to her Choctaw ways and her Choctaw way of life. Very headstrong, a leader, and very flawed.
And her hair smelled like
jasmine.
Jasmine.
Yeah, she made her own soap, and she made her own shampoo with jasmine. Yes.
Yeah, Matt really liked that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they seem like they assimilated, the guys assimilated into the Choctaw folks, you know, fairly easily. You know, it wasn't, they weren't had to be dodging any arrows or anything like that.
Yeah.
Except the brothers.
Right. It wasn't like
the brothers.
Yeah, it wasn't like that back then.
Yeah.
When you, we have a lot of dialogue in the book, which really also helps establish the characters. Did you read aloud? Did you write the dialogue and then, you know, have a friend like read it with you to see how it sounded? How did you?
I have that on Word. I use Word to write, and Word has the readback feature. And, you know, I just tried to write it as authentic as like we talk. We don't say, are you going to the store? You say you going to the store, you know, and just trying to write dialogue as authentic as people really talk, and listening to a lot of, I mean, you know, you can find anything on YouTube, listening to a lot of really old people talk, you know.
There's a good tip. There's a good writer's tip. I'm going to step away. I'm just looking at time, Miss Robbie. We're going to step away for a moment to hear from another of our sponsors, and that's Jim and me. And it's our business, outwestshop.com. Take a listen. And when we come back, we're going to find out what's Robbie up to next. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Running with the Writer. Special guest, Robbie Stanford. We're talking about the book, The Brothers Brown. Do we want to ask you, when you write, do you have a favorite place to write? You have a time of the day? You have a set program, or you just write when you can?
I just write when I can. I work full time, so I write in the evenings and weekends. I can hide myself away all weekend and never leave the house because I just write all weekend. And I love it. I just have my quiet little office back here, and I just have silence, and I write.
I wondered if you sometimes listen to period music just to help you get, like, what would it be like in that saloon? I'll put a little, you know.
Right. When I'm writing scenes that have dialogue, I do not. But when I'm writing scenes that depict that I'm describing the area, or if I'm describing the night sky, that kind of thing, then yeah, I'll have period music on. It helps so much just to get into that mode. And then in my mind, I can think about what, you know, what I would be seeing listening to this music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Robbie, what's next?
I hope to release part two by November. I haven't quite decided if there's going to be a part three or if it's all going to fit into part two. And then after that will be another series that goes back to the 1830s and goes back in time to the Choctaw removal.
To the Trail of Tears and such. Right. Okay. And where
can we find you?
Where can we find you?
My website, RG Stanford at WordPress.com. And you can always find me on YouTube. YouTube is where I post all of my videos, my promotional videos, and Facebook also.
Yeah, yeah. And to get the book, where do they go?
Amazon.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. And I know I had one more question for you, but now it's just like flew right out of my mind. Well, Jim, why don't you go ahead with your quote?
Your
and
quote?
Maybe my question
then we can
will come back to me. Yeah, but
yeah.
You go ahead with your quote.
We have, we call that quote number two here. Yes. We were talking about Robert and Robert's teaching and leading his brothers. And he had a final lesson, and this is what he told them, or taught them. Robert looked at the faces of his brothers, their eyes wide in anticipation of his next word. All ladies like sweet talking, but you got to mean it, not just say the words. You got to really feel it. Girls will know when you're not genuine. If they smell nice, tell them. Tell them if they're pretty, or if you like the color of their dress, or something like that. All three boys hung on every word, nodding their heads and understanding as if they were truly men of the world.
Lots of really wonderful things to quote from this book, yeah. The Brothers Brown. You know, I know, Robbie, what I was going to ask. We rarely have the time to do this, but I will ask, do you ever have what is called writer's block? And if you do, how do you get around it? And if you don't, what
all
do you
think? All the time when I'm thinking about my next scene, what I want to do, how do I want to betray it? What I do is I go for a drive. And for some reason, driving opens it up. A lot of times I miss my exit or I end up somewhere and go, where am I going? Because I'm not really paying attention. I'm thinking about what I want to write. And I will even not open up my phone, but, you know, click it on my steering wheel and send messages to myself.
Wow.
Send memos to myself about it.
Yeah, so you can remember what you, yeah.
What I was just thinking of, right.
Is there anything wonderful that you're reading right now? And it's okay if you say,
yes,
oh, I'm not.
No, I am. I am so in love with John Deacon and Brad Dennison's writings. Brad Dennison has become one of my very, very favorite authors, and I cannot get enough of the McCabe series. I'm reading the McCabe series.
Okay, make a note of that. Okay, yeah. Write that down.
All right.
The Justice series from John Deacon.
The Justice series. Okay. Well, we thank you for being with us tonight. Again, this was so much fun. We've been looking forward to this for so long with Robbie Stanford, and we've been talking about the first part of the series, The Brothers Brown, A Family Saga, Part 1. And Robbie, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much.
We want to thank Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio that makes it all happen. He does the magic behind the screen. Mm-hmm. And Sam, we really thank you for that. We want to thank Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band who open and close the show for us every week, our good friend. And this was episode 148. It'll be up on Podbean later this evening. It'll already, if you just stay tuned, it'll replay in just a moment on Rendezvous with a Writer's Facebook page and LA Talk Radio's Facebook page. And next week, we'll be joined by Micah Thorpe. Mm-hmm. And his book is not quite published yet in the next few days. And we will be talking about the book Egoliath Creek, which takes place in contemporary time in Oregon. This, again, is Story is Everything. And this is a story from the very first sentence. And I can't say to the last because I haven't finished it yet, but it will be it will be read by tomorrow because I can't put it down. Thank you again, Robbie. Do you have
Thank
a final
you.
Comment?
Thanks again, Robbie. We're glad to have you on the show. It's been
Thank
fun.
You so much. I had a blast.
Do you have a final comment?
Our final thought for the day, it's always a great day out west.
Story is everything.
We'll keep reading. And story is everything. We'll see you down the trail. Have a great week. Keep reading.
Bye-bye.